the legend of Seawolf.
This program has been described by AudioVision Canada. Described movies are also available on audio cassette. These audio cinemas can be enjoyed on any audio cassette player. For information on available titles, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755. The contents of this cassette are protected by copyright and may not be duplicated or used for any commercial purpose without the express written consent of the copyright holders.
The Legend of Seawolf, with narrative description by AudioVision Canada. Starring Chuck Connors. Barbara Bach. Also starring Joseph Palmer and Rick Battaglia, with Pino Ferrara and Maurice F. Pulley. Adaptation and screenplay by Marcello Ciorciolini. Director of photography, Sergio Rubini. Editor, Alberto Moriani. Music composed by Guido and Moriato D'Angelo. Production manager, Sergio Borelli. Cameraman, Michele Pansato and Ilio Polacci. Sound men, Umberto Fisicelli and Guido Hortensi. Produced by Mino Loy. Directed by Joseph Green. A sail is unfurled from a yardarm.
Check it out smartly. Now set the flying jib.
As a schooner's sails are trimmed.
Helmsman, steady as she goes.
A sailor carries a bucket of water.
Muster the new hands by the main hatch.
To a man lying on the deck.
Mr. O'Donnell. Wake up.
Then empties it onto him. A surly group of men file by.
I only see four. Where's the fifth?
Below, a seaman slaps a young man to rouse him.
Get you soft-hearted, Johnson.
Shut your trap, Cookie.
Please stop. Stop, please.
Dazed, the young man slowly eases himself from a hammock. A shirt and trousers are tossed to him.
Put these on and make it snappy. You want it on deck.
He looks about at his unfamiliar surroundings.
We're aboard a ship?
The good ship Ghost out of Frisco, heading southwest.
Where are we bound?
To Japan. Seal hunt.
The previous evening, in Frisco, a group of hard-bitten sailors approach a waterfront tavern. They enter, leaving two with clubs outside. A well-dressed young man walks slowly toward them. Aboard the schooner.
I want to be put ashore.
What did you say?
The young man comes on deck.
Don't be bashful, lads. Step right up and put your John Hancock in the lock.
Followed by Cookie and Johnson.
You, sign.
Not me.
You think you can fool me? Think I can't tell a sailor from a landlubber? You got sea.
The sailor draws a knife.
But I'm not signing on. And no one can make me sign on Wolf Larson's ship.
A white-bearded, stern-visaged man looks about the deck. He stares at the knife-wielding seaman. Then strides slowly forward. He grabs the man's wrist in a vice-like grip, forcing him to drop the knife. Then he slams the sailor against the bulwark. again and again. He smashes him to the deck, bleeding and unconscious. Standing nearby, the young man recalls the previous night in Frisco. As sailors emerge from the tavern, they are bludgeoned by the men outside.
What are you doing? This is an outrage!
He too is bludgeoned. Aboard the schooner, a sailor looks closely at O'Donnell.
Captain, the first mate is dead, sir.
Johnson.
Aye, Captain.
You know what to do.
That I do, Captain. Cookie, fill a sack with coal to ballast him.
The steely-eyed captain, Wolf Larson, checks the muster roll, then strolls away.
You're next. Which way do you want it?
I'm signing on right now, if it pleases the bosun, sir.
Smart lad. As a volunteer, you'll draw half pay. Hey, you! What are you doing there?
The bosun points to the young man.
None of this concerns me. So you can hardly expect me to sign on.
Ha! He's mad as a hatter! What was your occupation?
Occupation? I'm a gentleman.
A what?
Gentleman. Do you know the meaning of the word?
Being a gentleman is not an occupation. How did you live?
I have a certain income from my father's estate, but I don't see...
I thought so. Thanks to your father, you eat, and thanks to your father, you live. You walk with a dead man's legs.
Captain Larson, I insist upon my right to be put ashore as soon as this ship can make port.
Can you impose your rights on me? No, then they are not rights. Erickson!
Aye, Captain.
As of now, you are Mr. Erickson, first mate. Leech, you're no longer the galley slave. Boat puller Leech.
Thank you, Captain.
All dressed up like a Christmas goose.
Hold your tongue, you fool. There's your new scullery boy.
Cookie looks over at the young man. Then, leaving O'Donnell's body, he approaches him.
Get to work, me fine gentleman. Come on.
The Bible.
All hands, attention.
O'Donnell's body is placed on a grating and carried to the ship's side. The crew remove their caps.
The only phrase from the service of the dead that matters, I now pronounce. And the mortal remains shall be consigned to the deep. Deep six.
Jumped into the sea.
All hands of the duty watch, lay to. From now on, you'll get your orders from the new bosun. Oofty, oofty. Into the rigging. You're going aloft.
He seizes the beaten sailor.
Doctor, I said, right now.
That man's in no condition to go aloft, Erickson.
Mr. Erickson. And mind you, don't forget it.
I won't, Mr. Erickson. I'm volunteering to do his work, that's all.
By God, are you trying to tell the first mate how to run this ship? He'll work if it kills him.
Johnson turns and walks aft.
Permission to speak to the captain? Captain, can I take that man's place?
You already stood your watch.
That's cruel and inhuman punishment.
Have you said your piece?
Not by a damn sight. Ain't the captain interested in our grievances? Bully beef that's more worms than meat. Half a cup of water a day. 4 months at sea and then not permitted to go ashore in Frisco. Yes, by God, kept prisoner aboard this pest ship 3 miles off. Cause you know they'd find out the pox that took six of the crew and they'd quarantine the ship for a month. And we'd never arrive first on the sea.
Shut your beak, you mutineer son of a bitch, or I'll shut it for you.
Mr. Erickson. This man requested permission to speak to the captain.
Larson hits Johnson. Picking up a club, Johnson attacks the captain. Larson smashes him to the deck.
Smash him to the mast. No water, no rations. He obviously has a delicate stomach.
In the galley.
What do you call me?
Cookie grapples with his new scullery boy.
Cookie, don't you ever call me that. Scrub them pots. Wash the mug's plate. My name is Thomas Mugridge. Mr. Mugridge to you. As you wish, Mr. Mugridge.
you are. Polish them till they shine. Gentlemen, eh? What'd you say your name is?
Humphrey Van Weyden.
Humphrey. You don't mind if I call you Slops, do you? Real short and to the point.
I don't imagine it matters whether I mind or not.
You hit the nail on the head.
Cookie heats a pot handle in the stove.
I told you to do the pans first, didn't I, Slops? You can start with this one.
He hands the pot over.
Don't blame me if you have the hands of a girl, Slops. Never mind that now. You can do it later. Go scrub the floor in the main saloon. Captain will want to clean when he goes into lunch.
Favoring his burned hand, Van Weyden takes the water bucket and goes on deck.
Excuse me, where's the main saloon?
That hatch there.
He trips and falls against a box.
What you doing? Dang your eyes.
A small, gnarled sailor tenderly pats the soil in the box.
My fingers to the bone, trying to grow something green, and then some idiot comes along and walks all over it. When Wolf Larson finds out you messed up his garden, he'll tear you to pieces.
His garden?
Of course. I'll bet we're the only ship in the world that has its own farm.
The gardener, Dingbat, waters the plants with care. Aloft, two sailors look down.
That's why we have to go thirsty.
That night, a storm lashes the ship in a fury. In the galley, as Van Weyden scours a pot, Cookie readies a tray.
Slops, take this to the captain's table.
I don't know whether...
You want your teeth checked out?
Queasy, Van Weyden takes the tray and goes on deck. As he struggles to make his way, a wave crashes aboard, tumbling him to the deck. After rescuing the tray, he staggers along. Drenched again, he is slammed against a barrel, smashing his knee. He falls to the deck in agony. Larson looks down at Van Weyden with a smile.
Give him a hand with that snake.
I got it.
Secured to the mast, Johnson is nearly hit by a loose block swinging wildly. Noticing Johnson's peril, a sailor secures the block, then speaks to him.
I don't intend to die for Wolf Larson, do you?
Cookie comes on deck.
There you are, me fine gentleman.
And grabs Van Weyden.
Get your rump in a hustle, or your mincemeat for the captain's supper. Go on, move!
Later, Van Weyden enters the crew's quarters.
What the hell do you want? This is Hunter's quarters.
I was assigned the bunk Mr. Erickson used to have.
Placing his blanket on a bunk, he eases himself down. Across the room, a hunter draws a knife and throws it past him.
That's mine. That one's yours.
He moves to a different bunk. Flinching from the pain of his knee, Van Weyden lies back.
Hey, gentlemen, here, drink that. It'll make you feel better.
A canteen is tossed.
I've never touched the demon realm.
Drink, that's an order.
He gulps down the rum. Then rests. Next day, the storm has abated. Dingbat carries his plants up into sunshine, followed by Larson.
Morning, Captain.
Free him.
Cummins, Lewis, free him.
Two sailors untie Johnson from the mast. As Van Weyden watches Johnson's release, Cookie pushes him.
Go on.
Rubbing his chafed wrists, Johnson glowers at Larson with hate. In the galley, Cookie places a pot on the stove as Van Weyden changes into his own clothes. He examines his wallet.
Where's the money that was in it?
Look what you've done to them.
Where are the $85 that were in my wallet?
Why ask me?
You took these clothes to dry them for me.
You're accusing me? You're calling me a thief?
He smashes Van Weyden.
You're the real thief. You and all the parasites like you.
Chased on deck, Van Weyden trips.
Hey! What the hell you got against vegetables?
I'm sorry.
You gotta treat plants good, mate. Plants is life or death for us human beings. Here, take this. Fill it with water. You give them a drink and they'll forgive you. They're like men. They have to drink a lot. You see, the water passes through the earth and carries away the salt. It goes in fresh water and comes out salt water. I figured it out myself. Go on, give it to him.
Oh, no, you don't. We're half dying of thirst as it is. That's all there is for the whole crew, and he's wasted it making mud pies.
Them's captain's orders.
That's right. Captain's orders have to be obeyed. His plants need a lot of water? All right. By God, we'll give them plenty. The whole Pacific Ocean.
You kill us.
William! You and my plants have always drunk the same water. You will continue to do so. Take them.
Tied to a line, Williams is tossed into the sea and towed astern. On board, the line is paid out.
Look!
A shark's fin surfaces.
Shark! Pull him in fast!
As the crew hauls in the line, securing Williams, the shark glides toward him.
Ah!
Relentless, the shark moves to attack, while the men on board struggle to bring in their shipmate. As blood spreads through the water, the end of the line is hauled in. As Larson turns away, Van Weyden accosts him.
If it costs me my life, I must tell you to your face, what you just did is the most monstrous, most inhuman.
Throw it. The shark was unforeseen.
Clutching his head, Larson stumbles against a mast.
Dingbat!
Dingbat runs to his side. Watched by the sullen crew, he helps the captain below. Days later, at dusk, the ship glides serenely over a tranquil sea. In the mess, the crew eats supper, served by Van Weyden.
You can take it in today. These attacks never last more than 3 days.
Van Weyden takes a tray and goes below. He knocks on a cabin door.
Captain, shall I leave the tray outside again?
No. Bring it in.
Van Weyden enters cautiously.
Here on a table.
May I ask what you're suffering from?
You may not.
As he gathers some dishes, Van Weyden looks up, astonished.
You're surprised that I have books? You think that's the exclusive privilege of the upper classes?
Of course not. But Shakespeare, De Quincey, and Tyndall. And the sciences, too. Here's Darwin, Linnaeus. You're interested in botany?
Why else would I have Dingbat on board? He's the only man in the world who can grow fresh greens with brackish water. I have no wish to sicken with a sailor's disease for lack of fresh vegetables.
Even if your vegetables require a great deal of water from our rations?
Naturally.
You can't be serious. How could a man who reads these books... Captain, in the name of Christian charity, I beg you to put into the nearest island where we can replenish our water supply.
In the name of what? Hump. Every living thing, man, animal, or vegetable, is nothing but a yeast ferment. Nothing more. And nature has arranged it so the biggest ferment devours the smallest, and the strongest the weakest are men.
By your leave, sir. I object wholeheartedly.
How can your objections possibly matter? You, the weakest sniveling ferment in the whole ship's company. How do you rate even against the cook? He's a slimy worm. But even that worm has more guts than you have. So, he's devouring you.
What a bestial way to judge human relations. I can prove to you...
Larson grasps Van Weyden's wrist and forces him to his knees.
You can't prove anything to me. You know why? Because I am a bigger and stronger ferment than you are. The discussion is finished.
Larson tosses Van Weyden to the deck. Days later, a boat is rowed from an island. Other boats coming from the ship, which is anchored offshore. On board, a full cask is shipped.
Fresh water.
Hoist away!
And an empty one is hoisted into the boat. On shore, overseen by the mate, a cask is carried to a boat. The cask is carefully stowed. Pulls away from shore. In the boat,
now
Johnson and his companion row quickly away from the ship. Aboard the schooner,
looks like Johnson and that Lewis got it in their mind to jump ship. Trying to make it look like they're avoiding a reef. Only there ain't no reef there. Sure as sin, they're aiming to go around the point. There's an English trading post on the windward side of the island. And a fort, too, no doubt.
Brutus, woofty-ufty. Stop them. But don't shoot to kill. I have plans for them.
In the boat, an oar is shot away. Another is splintered. Johnson and Lewis wave their arms in surrender. Later, in the galley, Cookie empties potatoes into a bucket.
Hump.
Larson looks in.
Seems like you set a lot of store by philosophy. So tonight you take supper with me, and we'll talk.
Don't give yourself airs. To me, you're still slops. So peel them potatoes. The injustice of it. The sewer rat's invited to eat at the captain's table. And I have to serve him. Me. Me. Thomas Mugridge. Ain't right.
He kicks the stool from under Van Weyden.
I'll take you down a peg or two.
Leave me alone.
Grasping Cookie's leg, Van Weyden forces him onto the stove.
I warned you.
He smashes Cookie with a frying pan and pummels him with his fists. Then he chases him on deck and resumes the fight. Larson watches with interest. As Cookie runs, Van Weyden picks up a bucket.
No, no, that's my manure! No!
And empties it onto the cook.
My manure!
Dingbat scrapes the mess from Cookie.
Oh, my precious manure.
That evening, the crew enjoy their supper. Thank you. Van Weyden is seated beside Larson.
Captain,
Gentlemen, mouths closed when chewing, please. We're trying to talk. You were saying, Hump?
I was about to ask a question. How long will this voyage last? I know we're hunting for seal, but after that...
We're hunting whatever there is to be caught, but that's not what we were talking about. If I'm not mistaken, you trotted out a series of sophisms with which you hope to demonstrate your assumption that I am a man whose only religion is instinct. In other words, an Epicurean.
Cookie places a chop on Larson's plate.
Rather than an Epicurean, I should say hedonist. Only
he drops a bone onto Van Weyden's plate.
The individual, a sound basis for his morality.
I know, Aristippus the Young.
Van Weyden looks down at his plate, then at Larson's.
Captain, judging from the oscillation of that lamp,
Van Weyden switches plates.
The sea's continuing to build up.
Yes, we are in for a gale.
Larson looks down at his plate.
Cookie.
He signals for the cook.
Yes, Captain?
A bone, huh? Is this your subtle way of calling me a dog?
Grasping Cookie by the neck.
Is it?
He pushes his face into the plate. Shamed, Cookie scuttles back to finish serving supper.
You may now return my plate.
That night, gale force winds lash the schooner. On deck.
Close it. Give him a hand with that staysail before it blows out.
Drenched with spray, Larson commands his ship.
Cummins, take that halyard further aft. Wait till I ease the sheath, then haul away.
As waves crash aboard, Larson takes the wheel from the helmsman.
The ship is supposed to go over the waves, not under them, and you call yourself a sailor. Mr. Erickson, hand the main and smartly.
The raging sea pounds at the ship. Seaman tries to free the jammed sail. He slips and falls into the turbulent sea. Another seaman is forced into the rigging. Partway up, he slips, then freezes with fear.
Larson
Larson turns the wheel back to the helmsman. He makes his way forward. Larson struggles to climb the rigging through the drenching spray as the ship pitches wildly in the storm-tossed sea. Reaching the yardarm, he inches out on the foot rope. At the tip of the yard, he works the sail free. On deck, the mainsail is hauled in. Larson descends, ignoring the seamen still frozen to the rigging. Larson approaches Van Weyden.
You still question my right to hold the power of life and death over all of you? Erickson!
Working his way aft, Van Weyden enters the cabin. He sits as the ship reels about him. On deck.
In future, Mr. Erickson, never send a man aloft you can't depend on.
Aye, aye, sir.
Johnson! Look! Two of them together.
Lewis points to Larson and Erickson at the ship's side. Johnson kneels and creeps along the deck. Using a knife, Johnson saws at a line holding a boom. It swings free, knocking Larson and Erickson overboard. Later in the cabin, Van Weyden dozes, then wakens as the ship's pitching abates. Slowly he rises. Then goes on deck. He walks forward, looking about quizzically. A hand reaches up from the sea to grasp the bulwark. Agonizingly, Larson climbs on deck.
Don't
able to stand, he inches his way toward an astonished Van Weyden.
Bring a light. And come with me.
Below, the seamen sleep. Van Weyden enters their quarters, followed by Larson.
You tried to stab me in the back while I was saving your worthless lives. Well, here I am. What are you waiting for? You're 10 against 1, and the 10 of you don't add up to a man. Well, come on. Come on, you hyenas. I'll turn my back again.
The men jump from their hammocks and attack him. In a crush of bodies, Larson beats on his assailants. Climbing a ladder, he kicks away from their grasp. Emerging on deck, he closes the hatch.
Captain.
I trust I didn't keep you from anything important.
They passed the word that you was resting in your cabin because you was feeling bad, and that Erickson was with you.
One of the mutineers locked us in. We had to break down the door, but now we're going to teach him a lesson.
What can you do that I haven't already done?
Below.
Well, you must be crazy. This means real trouble.
Ah, shut up. You're in trouble the minute you set foot on Wolf Larson's ship. My brother shipped out with him. There was a sea battle with Death Larson.
My brother never came home again. He was just a kid.
And what if we did get rid of the skipper and the mate? Nobody here knows how to navigate, do they? It's a crazy idea.
Van Weyden stands.
What are you doing here, spying on us?
Leave him alone. Just another poor bugger like the rest of us.
He's right. Wolf Larson don't need spies. He knows who's out to get him, all right. Johnson and me, we're marked men.
Hump, you could do us a big favor. Otherwise, it's our necks.
You helped me once. And Lewis saved my life. What can I do for you?
You can get into the captain's cabin. You take a good look at the charts and find out where we are and what course we'd have to set to reach land.
In Larson's cabin...
Don't be squeamish, Doctor. You can't hurt me.
Van Weyden tends Larson's cuts and bruises.
Erickson?
He had never learned to swim. He was that afraid of the water. I designate you first mate.
Me?
Well, you have intelligence. You've been trained to use it. You learn fast. It's about time you stopped walking with your father's legs. From now on, you are Mr. Van Weyden.
May I ask you what punishment is to be inflicted on the men who attacked you?
Are you afraid to say Lewis and Johnson? They'll get what they richly deserve. They'll feed the sharks.
They're men, Captain.
What's the difference?
Men have souls.
Souls?
Larson grasps Van Weyden by the throat.
You see, you're afraid you'll die. Otherwise, your eyes wouldn't be wild with fear. And your brain wouldn't be screaming, "Stop, for God's sake, you're killing me."
He releases Van Weyden.
The soul is nothing but an invention to stave off fear.
As first mate, I need to know our course and position.
Days later, the schooner glides over a tranquil sea. One of the boats is gone. Larson scans the sea for the missing boat.
I had the helm. Something hit me on the head. I don't know how long I was out.
Well, Dingbat?
They took provisions and a cask of water.
And what were you doing? Dreaming about your Yokohama whore?
Stand by to come about, Mr. Van Weyden. We'll retrace our course.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Stand by to come about! Duty watch, send yard men aloft. The rest man the windlasses.
Down helm, hard over.
Down helm, hard over.
Down helm, aye, aye.
Steady as she goes.
Steady as she goes.
Aye, aye, sir. Steady she is.
Mr. Van Weyden, set the flying jib and the t'gallant staysails. That'll give us another half a knot.
Set the flying jib and all t'gallant staysails.
Do you expect to retake them, Captain?
Certainly. To escape from me, it's not enough just to know the course. Hump.
After testing wind direction, Dingbat tosses a bucket of water overboard. It flies back in his face. Later, the crew partake of a meal.
Lost your appetite, Mr. Van Weyden? It's quite understandable. As first mate, you're naturally angry and somewhat embarrassed at the totally unjustified desertion of two of your men and their theft of ship's property. You can relax. They'll soon be in our hands again. Knowing the ship's course is not much use unless you also know her position. You're likely to wander all over the ocean, believing that port is just over the horizon. And that's where port remains. Always just over the horizon.
And if you sail this side of the Pacific Ocean, you'll be bound sooner or later to meet Death Larson.
Death Larson?
My brother, master of the steamship Macedonia, seal hunter. We'll meet him most probably off the Japan coast. Men have named him Death.
Is he like you?
Hardly. He's an animal without any head. Oh, he has all my
brutishness?
Yes, thank you for the word. All my brutishness, but he can scarcely read or write.
And he doesn't philosophize about life?
No, never. And he's all the happier for it. He's too busy living life to think about it. My mistake was in ever opening the books.
Why should your brother be interested in those two men?
Because they belong to me.
Sail ho! On the horizon, 2 points off the port bow!
A small boat appears far ahead. On deck.
It's them. Fluttering like birds in a net.
Captain, listen to me. I'm well aware that only a fool would try to frighten you with threats. But I'm going to warn you anyway. If you kill those two men, you will have to kill me too. Because I will try to prevent murder with all my strength and with any means at hand.
Spoken like a man. My compliments, Mr. Van Weyden. Courage should always be rewarded. You have my word. No one will lay hands on them.
In the boat, Johnson and Lewis look back at the schooner. Now becalmed.
The devil. We're nearly dead in the water.
It's a bad sign when the trade wind dies so fast. Yes, sir.
Their sail furled, Johnson and Lewis row on.
I don't like the looks of this weather. I think we're in for a blow.
That night, the storm breaks. Fierce winds and mountainous seas batter the schooner. In their boat, the fugitives struggle to stay afloat. Aboard the schooner, Larson takes over the helm.
Hand the main and mizzen. We'll run under bare poles.
Main and mizzen, aye, aye.
Dismasted, Johnson and Lewis cry out. Cry. Van Weyden struggles aft to Larson.
Why are you not at your station, Mr. Van Weyden? It's not Latimer's duty to transmit my orders, it's yours. Or are you still afraid of a bit of weather?
What about those men? The boat is trying to get under our lee! Two men. You promised you wouldn't let anything happen to them.
I promise no one will lay a hand on them. And no one will.
Amos! You knew they'd end up this way, didn't you? You knew it!
Larson smashes Van Weyden to the deck. Van Weyden grabs a club and attacks. Only to be smashed down again. The boat overturns, tossing Johnson and Lewis into the sea.
Help! Help!
The ship sails on. Next day, Van Weyden rouses in his bunk. Dingbat enters.
Bet your head still aches. Well, in this case, I guess it's to be expected. I brought you a pickup. Here you go, drink her down.
This here is a brew that'll cure anything at all, from the French disease to bad breath. Yes, sir. A secret recipe of my old granny's. I always carry the herbs with me. You see, you boil them up, and then you add a little pinch or two of sulfur, and put it away, every last drop. No, going up against Wolf Larson ain't a healthy thing to do.
How long was I out?
Quite a spell, you know. Seems like that gale wasn't never going to blow itself out. You hear that? It's dawn, we've been passing wreckage. Now they must have caught sight of the castaways. No, not those two poor fellows, Mr. Van Weyden. No, I calculate they both must have went right straight on down to Davy Jones' docker. So I guess you could say it were all for nothing, weren't it?
On a calm sea, the schooner approaches a raft.
Launch the number three boat.
Aye, aye.
As the ship's boat slowly nears the raft, Larson watches.
Belay that sheet.
Van Weyden comes on deck.
I see they did put Humpty Dumpty back together again.
At the raft.
Mate, are we glad to see you?
Well, give them hope.
Easy does it. Don't get panicky.
Aboard the schooner, Van Weyden approaches Larson.
I want you to be a witness to a good deed.
Are you going to pick them up, or is it more fun just to torment them?
Oh, I shall pick them up, Mr. Van Weyden. Only because the ship is short-handed.
Leaving the raft, the boat heads for the ship. Alongside, the castaways are helped aboard the schooner. A pretty young woman, clad in oilskins, is among the castaways.
A woman?
What's a woman? It's been so long since I've seen one. I can't recall what it is women got that I like. Can you recall what it is?
Nothing else but, Charlie.
Mr. Van Weyden, you will escort the lady below and see that she has whatever she requires.
Aye, aye, sir.
Placing an arm around the woman, Van Weyden helps her.
Thank you.
Cookie, fetch hot tea to my cabin.
What was your ship?
The City of Tokyo out of Seattle. 8,000-ton steamship. The boilers exploded during the gale.
Below, Van Weyden helps the lady remove her oilskins.
I'll dig up some dry clothes for you to put on. Try to rest, huh? You look worn out.
Hugging herself nervously, she sits on the bunk.
We'll be put ashore at the nearest port, won't we?
Now you must not tire yourself.
He leaves. On deck.
She blew up, eh? Sky high. Steam. You can't trust it, I always say. What'd you do aboard?
Black gang. I was a stoker like him. He was a steam fitter.
Well, our boilers can't blow up because we ain't got none. So you'll just have to be ordinary seamen.
What do you mean? Shipwreck seamen don't have to work their way.
This ain't no passenger ship. You sign on or you starve.
Larson approaches the castaways.
That's Wolf Larson.
Stared down, the castaway backs away. Larson grabs him by the throat.
Captain Wolf Larson to you. And never forget it. Just as I fished your worthless hide out of the sea, I can throw you back in. Or would you like to call my bluff? Now, you will all do well to remember this. I can keep you on board until you rot, if I so desire.
Later in the cabin, the crew eats dinner. A door opens, and hesitantly, the young lady enters. Van Weyden stands. Larson gestures for her to sit by him. She complies.
I am Captain Larson. This is my first mate, Mr. Van Weyden, and these are my seal hunters.
I'm Miss Maud Brewster from Providence, Rhode Island, and I'm very grateful to you, Captain.
Cookie, you may serve. Miss Brewster, in future, kindly observe the meal hours. Breakfast at 7, dinner at 12, supper at 6, precisely.
7, 12, and 6 precisely. I'll remember, Captain. However, I hope I won't have to impose on your hospitality for long. When do we reach Yokohama?
Larson starts eating. Maud looks around, still waiting for an answer.
In 4 months, possibly three if the hunting season closes early.
I thought I was led to understand it's only a day's sail away. Perhaps I may be taken off by passing vessel.
There'll be no passing vessels except other sealing schooners. Pigs. Cookie, serve them the meat.
Your name is Van Weyden?
Yes, Miss Brewster.
Any relation to Humphrey Van Weyden?
Your humble servant, ma'am.
Why, this is incredible. I've read every one of your books.
We have a celebrity in our midst, and you never let on.
What in heaven's name are you doing on this ship?
It wasn't really something I'd planned, but let's just say I took it in my head, and when I woke up, here I was.
Mr. Van Weyden is here for the experience. He's learned a great deal since he's been with us. Some might say, too much for his own good.
Ships, boats on the horizon! Dead ahead!
At a nod from Larson, the bosun leaves.
Maybe that means there are other survivors. Or maybe the boats belong to a ship that was sent to look for us. If that's the case, my companions and I can leave this ship right
away. Stow it, Miss Brewster. A woman aboard ship should be seen and not heard.
The bosun returns.
They're the Macedonia's boats, Captain. And they're working hard.
They found a herd of seal?
Please, sir. It's better you come see with your own eyes.
Outside, a sperm whale surfaces, then plunges into the sea. In their boats, the Macedonia's hunters strain at their oars. Aboard the schooner, boats are made ready.
40 rounds of ammo per man.
What are you waiting for? Lower away number three boat.
Put your backs in it. That's it. Ease her down.
Do it right and we'll all get rich.
You hear that, men? Let's go.
As the whale continues its run, Macedonia's hunters strive to follow. The schooner's boats pull away.
Come on, row! Pull!
One after another, harpoons are flung into the whale by the Macedonia's hunters. The injured whale hauls the boats in a headlong dash over the water.
Wilson, we're being followed. Three boats.
Let's go far, man. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, come on, row!
They're turning to give battle. Make the signal, attack.
Aye, aye, sir.
Rifle fire erupts from the schooner's boats and is returned. Aboard the schooner, Van Weyden passes Cookie.
Tonight we eat whale steaks.
Then joins Larson.
What you're doing is criminal. It's piracy.
2 years ago, I took 1,000 seal from him. This time, the spoils are much greater. He'll die of apoplexy.
But those men will get killed.
Save your own neck, Hump. Don't fret about theirs.
Under Larson's approving gaze, the battle rages between the boats. schooner.
We'll win again this time.
So far, the whale seems to be winning.
On deck, Larson smiles as the Macedonia's boats are captured. Then he spots the telltale smoke of a steamer.
Make the signal, return to ship immediately. My brother has come looking for his wharf rats.
Set all sails! Steer to meet our boats! All deckhands to the rails, ready to recover the boats! There's no time to lose!
Below.
They're hoisting the boats. There are dead and wounded.
I was on a ship that exploded. What could I see that would be worse than that?
Wolf Larson in a bad mood. Not to mention Death Larson, him that's after us with a crew I callied is twice as big as ours and a cannon.
Maud, don't go up.
Reluctantly, she turns back to her cabin.
Mr. Van Weyden, I doubt that you can protect her. You're a marked man. Wolf Larson will never forgive anyone that's guilty of treachery.
Van Weyden goes on deck. Above, the boats are brought alongside.
Are they gaining?
You're not afraid for yourself, are you?
What would happen if they were able to board us?
Things better left unsaid. Not for nothing is my brother called Death Larson. He's even more voracious than I am. He's never read a book in his life. He has an elementary mind that goes directly to the bottom of everything. With men and with women. You believe in an almighty God, so start praying. If we can just hold them off until sunset, we'll find some fog banks to play hide and seek in.
At dusk, the schooner creeps into the safety of a fog bank. The Macedonia looms astern. Wispy tendrils of fog envelop the schooner in an eerie gloom.
Koch?
Yes, sir?
Pass the word to the crew. Not a light, not a word, not a sound. Furl all sails. We'll lie too quiet as a church mouse.
Aye, sir.
Mr. Van Weyden's prayers were highly efficacious.
What do we do now?
Nothing. And we do it without a sound. If they can't find us, they can't board us. Brutus, you're in charge of the prisoners. Slit the throat of anyone who tries to give an alarm.
With pleasure, Captain.
tense and alert. All on board peer into the thick fog. Cookie drops a pot. Larson glares with suppressed anger. A light from the Macedonia pierces the dark. Edges against Van Weyden. The light slowly fades as the steamer passes. As tension eases aboard the schooner, Van Weyden steps toward Larson.
Will they come back?
It's unlikely. If it's a choice between losing more time on Dinas or recovering the boats he lost, he'll choose the boats. I told you he has a simple, direct mind.
Nearby, bucket in hand, Dingbat tests the wind. Satisfied, he empties the bucket overboard.
Hooray!
Water is blown back. Below, the crew celebrates.
Come on, let's drink a toast to the captain of the good ship Ghost. Bottoms up, boys. The wolf Larson. Long may he wave.
On deck, the party continues.
We'll serenade the young lady.
Oh, that's my bad shoulder.
Want to know the best thing about shipping out with Wolf Larson? If you get shot, he gives you free disinfectant. Give it back.
Feeling his way, Dingbat walks aft and stops before the wheel.
You don't drink, Mr. Van Weyden? Why, you doing sailor's work?
They're all blind drunk. And the captain's ill again.
He tell you he's sick? By the by, where's the little miss?
In the cabin.
Alarmed, Van Weyden leaves the wheel and rushes off. Below, Larson forces Maud towards his cabin. Van Weyden comes down.
No!
Let her alone!
Larson smashes him to the deck.
You stay out of this hump, or you'll be dead.
Van Weyden hurls a block and tackle at the captain, but misses. Larson smashes him, then grabs him by the throat. Suddenly, Larson's headache returns. He releases Van Weyden and staggers away. Van Weyden stoops for a weapon.
Humphrey, don't do it. Please.
Help me to my cabin.
Why should we lift a hand for you?
Because, like all morons, you have a conscience.
Van Weyden helps Larson to his cabin. Leaving the cabin, he walks to Maud and comforts her.
It's happened before. It'll be at least 3 days before he comes out of it. Maud, we've got to get away from this ship.
Dingbat eavesdrops.
I've got the charts we need, and we'll provision one of the boats.
We can't possibly launch one alone.
I might be persuaded to lend a hand or two.
What do you want?
Like the young lady said, you two are kind of short on muscle, eh?
I ask what you want. To come with us?
Me? Leave my garden? No. I'll just help you get launched. And the best of luck to you.
If he finds out, he'll kill you.
He won't find out.
Why should you risk it?
We're wasting time chewing the fat. All them drunken swabbies is going to start waking up pretty soon. With awful hangovers and worse tempers. Let's go.
At the stern, Dingbat and Van Weyden lower a boat. Nearby, Maud looks about in fear as drunken sailors cavort.
Hey! What's the matter with you? Come on, sing! Come listen to me. I'll sing you a song. Wait! Hey! Oh, and drown!
Van Weyden runs to her.
Come, Maud. We're ready to go.
Hurry, hurry. Come on.
Listen. Shh.
I don't hear it anymore.
He stopped her engines. But she's still a-coming. Trying to sneak up on us.
Then it's the Macedonia.
Go on, get moving before it's too late.
They climb down to the boat. As they cast off, Dingbat brings in the boat's falls.
Come with us.
No, this is my home. Be sure you keep the little lady out of sight.
Maud ducks down below the gunwale as Van Weyden rows. They disappear in a fog bank. They look back as a mast is felled by the Macedonia's gunfire. Aboard the schooner, the crashing alerts the crew.
It's the Macedonia! All hands on deck, prepare to repel boarders!
Unseen, Van Weyden rows past the Macedonia's boats. Macedonia's boats come alongside the schooner. Their sailors climb aboard and open fire. In the fog bank, Van Weyden continues to roll away. On the schooner, the fighting rages. As the fighting ends, Death Larson climbs aboard.
Captain, your brother's below decks in his cabin.
He goes below. entering the cabin. He faces his brother. They glare at each other. Next morning, the fog swirls about a weary Maud and Van Weyden huddled together in the boat. Slowly, the fog lifts.
Maud, look!
The schooner emerges from the mist.
It's the Ghost. It looks abandoned.
Let's hope it is.
Van Weyden rows back to the ship. He climbs aboard and looks about in the eerie stillness. Given a hand, Maud follows. Together, they look about the deck, mystified. He motions Maud to wait, then moves along the empty deck. He comes back to Maud. They step across the deck. She spots Dingbat's hat and picks it up. Holding a rifle, he rejoins her and shares her concern over the hat.
Wait here while I look below.
He descends to the cabins. Opening the door to the crew's quarters, he looks in. He turns from the deserted room. On deck, a hand appears above the bulwark.
Humphrey! Humphrey!
Fear not, my lady. Here comes your knight in shining armor. This way, Mr. Van Weyden.
Van Weyden aims his rifle.
So, you managed to escape. Miss Brewster, your hero has finally learned to stand on his own 2 feet. It's a mistake. Ever to underestimate a man. I made the same mistake with my brother.
Were there no survivors?
They were permitted to sign on as crew of the Macedonia.
Why leave you?
This time my brother's mind proved not so simple.
Larson lurches forward, but stops as the rifle is cocked.
Why not? You're the king of the jungle now, and you can devour me. In your place, I wouldn't hesitate for a second.
I don't doubt that.
But I'm not Wolf Larson. I'm a very ordinary human being. What's more, you don't kill a man you need. You taught me that, and I need you. Without your knowledge, we're lost.
Lead on.
Where?
To your cabin.
He's blind.
Yes, Miss Brewster. I'm blind.
That's why your brother let you live.
Yes, But he'll never have the satisfaction of hearing that Wolf Larsen was found blind as a worm, quivering helplessly aboard the wreck of his last command.
Listen to me, damn you. We can set sail on the foremast. There's no real damage there. And with luck, we might be able to reach one of the main shipping lanes, where we'd have a good chance of being saved.
Oh, Larsen clutches his head in pain. Then falls to the deck. Van Weyden sets down the rifle and approaches the captain. As he kneels, Larsen grabs him by the throat.
You should have killed me when you had the chance. You will not exhibit me like a freak in a sideshow. No port in the world will ever see Wolf Larsen as an object of laughter or pity. He will scuttle his ship and go down with her instead.
Alarmed, Maud seizes the rifle and smashes it on Larson's head. Released, Van Weyden gasps for breath. Maud holds him tenderly. Later, Wolf Larsen lies chained to his bunk.
He's coming around.
I didn't think he would.
He's hard as iron.
Oh, my.
He can't talk.
Captain, can you hear me?
Larsen nods.
You can't talk?
He shakes his head. Then slowly pats his chest and motions for a pencil.
He wants something to write with.
Van Weyden tears a page from a book, then picks up a pencil and hands them to Larsen.
I must warn you, I have a gun.
Haltingly, the captain writes. Van Weyden takes the paper and reads.
Never underestimate a woman either. I made the same mistake myself. Flying jib and fore staysail are set and drawing.
Later, the jury-rigged schooner inches its way across a calm, sunlit sea, with Van Weyden at the helm. Walking aft, Maud spots something on the horizon. They burst into Larson's cabin. It's empty. A window is smashed. They pick up a note from the bunk.
The only phrase from the service for the dead that matters, I now pronounce. And the mortal remains shall be consigned to the deep.
The end. This described version of The Legend of Seawolf was created by Audiovision Canada. The narrative description was written by Vern Margetts, narrated by Mike Morrison, and produced by Marco Sorin and Valerie Hunter. For other described movies and audio cinema presentations available from Audiovision Canada, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755.